Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I want to speak to you tonight from Ezekiel 37. It's a well-known scripture to many of us, but I'm going to refer to it from the Message Bible. And this message that I'm bringing to you tonight is something of a challenge, and it's something of a declaration for what I believe God is looking for in this house and in the future of all that you're planning to do. This was a moment in time for Ezekiel when he had got fairly fed up of his mandate of being a prophet. His job was to go around and to speak to people about what God was going to do. And you know, prophets either had a good time or a bad time, depending on the words God chose to give them. Some of them had to go tell people pretty hard stuff. And Ezekiel had been going around telling people what God was going to do. But people, it says in Ezekiel 33, that people would come and listen to him as if he was an entertainer. And they would sit and they would applaud his words, his prophecy, and then they would go away and do nothing about what they heard. And I guess Ezekiel finds himself thinking through his journey, thinking through the worth and the purpose of his life. And I guess you could say that there are times in ministry and there are times as believers where we can find ourselves in the same place, where we feel for all of our doing good, for all of our trying to make a difference, no one seems to be responding. Projects don't seem to be successful. There doesn't seem to be the swell of response that we expected. And you can begin to question the message that is on the inside of your very life. And you begin to come kind of despondent and kind of fed up with people. Have you ever got fed up with people? Or is that just me because I'm a pastor? Hello? I just need to let you know, we love people as pastors, but you also drive us crazy. You can put on the best event and 3.5 people show up and you're like, what is going on? You can spend all week loving on people and then the same family leave the church. It's hard being a pastor sometimes. So give us a break, okay? But I don't know what Ezekiel was going through, but I think he was feeling a little bit like, man, I do this for God. I feel it's my calling. This is what I do. But people don't seem to get it. No one is changing. Nothing is happening. And Ezekiel is going about his day. And I'm going to borrow Steve. Would you come up here, babe? And some of you in here tonight, you are going about your life just like this. You have your life, you have your plan, you're following the things that you're doing. And Ezekiel was just walking in the destination that he decided. He was just carrying on. And then something happened to Ezekiel. Something happened like this. Because in Ezekiel 37 that I'm about to read to you, in the Message Bible, the first line says, God grabbed me. And I need you to hear me, Healing Place, tonight. I need you to listen to me, Healing Place, that God wants to grab you all over again. God is after grabbing you by the head or the leg or the behind or the arm, whichever it takes, because he wants to re-envision your heart and your life for the next season of ministry that you're about to tip into. He does not need you jaded. He does not need you despondent. He does not want you feeling. Does it make any difference? He wants you alive to the bigger picture. And so God grabbed. I love that. God grabbed. I have a picture in my head of what that looks like. I don't know if you have children in here, but my son, Noah Brave, is 6 years old, and he has a little device called a Nintendo DS. He is given limited hours on his DS because he can get addicted. He's a boy. He likes devices. And when Noah gets his head down and his DS on, I can call him from across the house, across the living room, and say, Noah Brave, dinner is ready. And he will not even lift his head from the device. Noah Brave, your dinner is going cold. And he will keep his head down, so focused on the screen in front of him, on the game he is playing. I'll say it a third time, Noah Brave. Still no response. And eventually I will walk over to Noah, I will remove the game, and I will grab his head, and I will look him in the eyes, and I'll say, Noah. And his reaction is if I've said it for the first time. Like, what is the big deal? You don't need to get that strong. Hello? I said, Noah, did you not hear me call you 3 times? And Noah will say, no, because I was playing a game. And I believe by the Spirit of God that God needs to grab some of you by the head tonight, grab your ministry, grab your life, grab your face and hold it there and say, Ashley, Simon, Mark, Barry, Brian, Scott, Jennifer, Bella, whatever your name is, and you're going to look up from the thing that you've been concentrating on, the thing that you keep trying to win at and you keep losing, the thing that's kind of got you all fascinated, you're going to look up and you're going to find God looking at you and saying, I need to show you there's a bigger picture. I need you to realize you have got tied into something that is a small device in your hand when I hold the world in mine. And God grabbed Ezekiel. He grabbed him because he knew that he was just in autopilot. And if you are doing church in autopilot, it's not a condemnation, but you need a God grab. You need a revelation like that moment when you were first saved from the sinful life that you had. You need a come back to Jesus moment where you get a revelation of why we are here on Sunday night. We're not here on Sunday night because there's nothing else to do. There's lots of things we could be doing. We're here on Sunday night because we're the hope of our nations. We are here to build a house for the hopeless. And so God grabbed Ezekiel. And I love what begins to unfold here. And I believe by the Spirit of God, the same process is going to unfold in your life if you let God do this. And in the house that we are in tonight, in the church that is represented here, God wants to take you on this journey for your future. God grabbed me. And then God's Spirit took me up and sat me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. And he led me around. And among them, there was a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones, bleached by the sun. God took Ezekiel. He grabbed him. And then he says he did this. He lifted him up. And what God wants to do is grab his church and begin to elevate you up. Begin to lift you up above the situations that you have become fed up about. Above the situations that you can't see hope in anymore. Above the financial debt that you just keep looking at every day. Above the broken marriage that you can't see a way forward in. Above the community that you live in and it's riddled with addiction and abuse and you're like, God will never break it. Above all that stuff that is down there, God needs to lift you up because you have to understand how to see what God sees. So he grabs Ezekiel, who is in the middle of all the people that are not responding, and he begins to lift him up. And the house of God must be a place that we commit to come in, whether it's once, twice, 3, 4 times a week. And every time it's a lifting up of our eyes. It's a lifting up of our faith. It's a lifting up of our courage. It's a lifting up of our strength. You get around the environment of believers and we should be lifting one another up, encouraging each other, speaking life over each other. And he lifted him up. But see, this is what you need to know. He didn't get to stay here. See, what we want to do in the church is we want to be lifted up and then we want to stay up here because this is really nice. I don't have to do anything up here. I just get to watch everybody else running around. I want a lifted up experience. And so we get Christians that go looking for meetings that will lift them up and leave them in a cloud. Where do I go to get in the cloud? What conference can I go to that I can stay in the cloud for a little bit longer? Because I don't like what's down the bottom of this ladder. But when God lifts you up, it's always so that he can set you back down. And I have a bit of a newsflash. I'm sorry about this. Blame God, not me. Because when he set him back down off the ladder, when he set him back down off that place of elevation of being with him, he set him back down and he was not in Hawaii. He didn't set him back down and he was in revival. He didn't set him back down and he was on the beach taking a stroll and Jesus saying, there, you've worked so hard for me. I'm sorry it didn't turn out like you thought. I'm sorry not enough people came. Sorry there wasn't enough response. It doesn't matter. Just come with me. No. He grabs him. He lifts him and then he sets him in a huge valley of bones. And not just bones. I mean, they were bleached by the sun, as dry can be. And see, what God needs to be able to do with his people is lift you so he can set you in the driest of places. But when he sets you in the driest of places, you are not going to see what you saw before. Because see, God did not see bones. God saw an army in the bones. And so God wanted to set him back down in the very place he did not want to be, but with a new perspective. A lot of us try and leave churches, leave the state, leave the country, go on a mission. And sometimes we go to escape the lack of kind of result that we feel we get here in our home turf. But we've got to believe God that if he can do it there, he can do it here. We've got to be able to see that bones are bones and God is God. And no bone is any different than the other when God's in charge. So he sets him back down in this valley of bones. And I love that he didn't just set him down and go, did you see that? And then whip him out. No, he made him walk back and forth and back and forth. Some of you are saying, God, anytime soon, I'd like to be out of here. I'd like to be out of this dryness. I'd like to be out of this rubbish situation. I'd like to be out of this trial. I'd like to be out of this ministry. This ministry is as dry as an old bone. Nothing ever happens. We all never have any money. Nobody ever gets saved. This is the worst ministry in the church. How did I end up here? Just get me out of here. Put me in that nice shiny ministry on the platform with all the singing and the lights. Don't put me out in the car park. Don't put me in kids' church. I mean, put me somewhere, anywhere but here, Lord. All I see is bones. And God says, I need to grab you again then, because I don't see bones. I need to arrest you again then and get your head out of what you're looking at and lift you maybe to see something that you've not realized was there. And so he set him down. And God has set you down as a church in the middle of a lot of bones. This church is a church that was destined to walk back and forth among many bones, much dryness, much hopelessness, much need in this place and beyond, in this country and this nation and in another nation. God has called you because he knows that this is a house that believes in letting God lift them and set them. And so he sets him down and God asks him this question. And he's asking the same question of you tonight. God says, can these bones live? I find that amazing because God knew the answer. Hello, this is kind of mean, Lord. I mean, you know the answer and you're asking why the question. You're asking me, can the bones live when you are God? And, you know, surely, Lord, you know, give me a break. But see, God was not teasing him. God was asking for, what do you believe is possible? I need to know, Ezekiel, what do you believe is possible? Do you believe I'm good for one bone? Or do you believe I can take care of this situation? Where are you at in this? And I think actually for the church across the world, God's asking the same question. See, his power is not in question, but he's wondering where have we located him on our map? And so he says, Ezekiel, you know who I am. You know I'm God. You know that I speak through you. You know when I bring a word through you, it comes to pass. You've seen my power. You've seen my might. And now you've seen bones. So I'm asking you, Ezekiel, can these bones live? I'm asking you, Healing Place, can this whole community be one for Christ? I'm asking you, Healing Place, can you reach more people? I'm asking you, can you fill all these seats on Sunday night? I'm asking you, can you need multiple services on Sunday, time after time after time, because the arena's too small? I'm just asking. I just wonder. See, I think what we do is we want the answer from God. We don't want the question. We like to ask God our questions, but oh, Lord, you're not allowed to ask questions. That's my job. You've got the roles mixed up. But I think sometimes God wants to know, what are you thinking? Can these bones live? Can these streets be changed? Can this community find hope again? Can that marriage be restored? Can that child come back to me? Can your sick body be well? I mean, you know the word, but I'm asking you, can it? Ezekiel tries to do a little deflect. Oh, Lord, only you know. Yeah, nice try, Ezekiel. Listen to God's response. He says this to him. He said to me, in verse 4, prophesy over these bones. Dry bones, listen to the message of God. In other words, the answer to whether these bones can live or not, to whether this church can expand or not, to whether missions can go to another level, to whether finance can be found and prayed and believed in. The answer is when you get in line with God's word, when you begin to speak it out, when you begin to prophesy, when you lift your head up from your Nintendo spiritual DS and engage with God instead of the game and realize, actually, if God says it, it can happen. And he said, Ezekiel, this will happen, but it's not going to be. See, I think what we like is, okay, God, there's the bones. You're God Almighty. Do your thing. I'll pray, but you just do your thing. And sometimes God sovereignly will do his thing. But most of the time, God will say, no, we're going to do this thing. Why would he need the church if he was just going to do his thing? He chose to do his thing through you and through you and through you and through you. So he says to Ezekiel, this is how this is going to play out. You need to prophesy. You need to start walking out what you are called to do. Last time I checked, you are a prophet. Prophesy, you know what to do. Last time I checked, you are a believer. Believe, you know what to do. Last time I checked, you were spirit-filled, believing Christian. So you know what to do. Speak in the spirit, act in the spirit, flow in the spirit. Did I miss something? Prophesy over these bones, dry bones. Listen to the message of God. Verse 5. God the Master told the dry bones, watch this. I'm bringing the breath of life to you, and you will come to life. And I'll attach sinews to you, and I'll put meat on your bones, and I'll cover you with skin, and I'll breathe life into you, and you will come alive, and you will realize that I am God. I love this picture because to me it's a picture of the body of Christ. What is he prophesying? He's prophesying that every part of the body needs to line up in accordance with what God is saying can happen. He's saying, listen, you don't just need a bone, you need a sinew. And you don't just need a sinew, you need a muscle. And you don't just need a muscle, you need skin. And you don't just need skin, you need breath. So you better get them all to pull together in the same direction. And there you will find that I begin to move. And we have to understand in this room, one of the biggest lies of the enemy is to tell you that you are insignificant. One of the biggest things that we have to battle in church, I believe, is people's feeling of insignificance. Especially as a church grows bigger, people can begin to feel smaller. They can begin to feel, well, I am now lost in the crowd. You know, this is bigger now than me. I used to have an area. I used to know where everybody was, but now I'm kind of disorientated. And what they take that to mean is, I'm not necessary. I'm not needed. I am now insignificant. But see, God needs you to understand that you have a decision to make. You have to decide whether you are going to live your Christianity with a mindset that says, I am just a piece. I have a jigsaw in my hand. And oftentimes in Christianity, we go around with a piece mindset. Well, I'm just a piece. I mean, what do I matter? I mean, look at me. I've just got a blob of pink and a bit of orange. It doesn't seem to make any difference in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't matter if I miss on Sunday. Doesn't matter if I'm not here. Doesn't matter if I show up to small group. Doesn't matter if I pray. Doesn't matter if I tithe. Doesn't matter if I say amen. Someone else will. I mean, I'm just a piece. And if the enemy can get you to think that you're just an insignificant piece, then your behavior will begin to look like that. You'll begin to speak like that. You'll begin to attend like that. You'll begin to act like that. And you'll show up late and you'll leave early because you're just a piece. And what God was showing Ezekiel was a scattered floor of bones with no connection between one or the other, with nothing joining together, just scattered. And for too long, the enemy has managed to scatter the church. He's managed to... If he can do that to the body of Christ, if he can just get your peace just to be on the floor, as it were, of the church, if he can just manage to scatter your peace and you just think, well, what does it matter? But see, we've got to understand, we've got to get grabbed and we've got to get lifted and we've got to see the big picture. Because you can't live like peace, you've got to live like big picture. You've got to have a box lid faith, a box lid lifestyle. You've got to realize, how many of you ever know, and someone that this puzzle belongs to will soon know, how annoying is it when you try and do the puzzle and a piece is missing? Hello? All of a sudden, you're not so insignificant. All of a sudden, you're not so, it doesn't matter. Now you're the most precious piece in the puzzle. Now the whole family turned the house upside down for that piece, because it's so annoying that it's not there. You lift the couch and you lift the chairs and you get under the rug because you just want the piece where it's supposed to be, because it just doesn't feel the same without that piece missing. And the church is all over the world missing pieces. Because somewhere in our mindset, we've got distracted, we've got fed up, we've got kind of disillusioned like Ezekiel. And God has to grab you and he has to lift you and he has to set you and then he has to connect you. You got to be willing to come and find the bone. You got to be willing if your flesh to cover the muscle. You've got to be willing if your breath to get in the body. You've got to find where your peace is. Imagine if Mary had said, I'm just an insignificant piece. I'm a teenager. I'm just a piece. I mean, you know, I don't know what this Messiah deal is that you're all on about. I don't know what this Messiah baby is that you're thinking that I'm going to carry. But, you know, last time I checked, I'm just a piece. I'm just an insignificant teenager. Don't have a husband yet. You know, Joseph hasn't even got his qualifications in carpentry. We have no money. We have no finance. I mean, I'm just a piece. Imagine if she'd had that mindset. But see, her piece was critical to the big picture. So was an orphan called Esther. It was critical to the big picture. So was a guy who got peace mentality in a prison cell with a guy called Joseph. And the guy was next to a guy called Joseph. And Joseph said, could you just remember to mention my name when you get out of here? Could you just mention my name? But see, he left the prison cell with a peace headset on. He left with a peace mindset thinking, Joseph? Oh yeah. He was just busy with his peace. And then one day he remembers, oh, I'm supposed to have remembered the guy in the prison cell. And all of a sudden, the piece gets in the puzzle. All of a sudden, the big picture finds what it needed for the next scene that God had to unfold to happen. And I need to let you know tonight that the enemy will distract you. He will rip you off. He will disconnect you. He'll make your kids get sick on Sunday morning to make you avoid being in the house to connect. He'll give you a phone call, girlfriends, tomorrow night, to say, oh, can you do such and such? And then you'll miss out on being at chick night because he's not got many tricks. He just comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's only three things he knows to do. So you better wise up and not be disconnected. You better understand, no, I need to stay around the things of God. And so God said, tell the sinews, attach, get the meat on the bone. If you're meat, get on your bone. Hello? There's an analogy you can all relate to in the South. Get the meat on the bone. Get the meat on the bone. Get the skin over the top. Get the breath in the body. And then you're going to start to realize I am God. I'm going to ask the keyboard player to come back out. It says, I then prophesied just as I'd been commanded. And as I prophesied, listen to me, healing place. I wish I could grab you all by the head. Because God's not messing with us tonight. I know it's Sunday night, but I'm not waiting to warm up. I need you to hear this. When you begin to get in line, When you begin to get grabbed and begin to get re-envisioned and begin to get lifted and begin to look again at the bones and connect, all of a sudden it says, I prophesied and there was a sound. There was a sound. There was a rustling that wasn't there before. There was an energy. There was a movement. Something supernatural was beginning to happen. And by the Spirit, I know that sound is something we can tap into. There's a rustling of angels' wings that get busy. There's a rustling of God sending help from all ends of the earth when we get busy. There's a rustling of resources that start to be released. There's a rustling of provision. There's a rustling of healing. There was a sound. And the rustling sound began to be heard. And as he heard the sound, the bones moved and they came together. Bone found bone. And he says, and I kept watching and sinews formed and then muscles got on the bone and then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. So he said to me, okay, here we go again. Now prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, tell the breath, tell the wind. God the Master says, come from the four winds, come breathe life on these slain bodies, breathe. And so I prophesied just as I had been commanded. And the breath entered them and they came alive and they stood up on their feet and they were a huge army. And then God said to me, oh, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Baton Rouge, the whole house of Louisiana, the whole house of our nation. These bones represent a much bigger picture. Listen to what they're going to say. They're going to say to you, church, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. There's nothing left for us to live for. Therefore, you prophesy and you tell them this, that God the Master says, I'll dig up your graves and I'll bring you out alive, O my people. And then I'll take you straight to the land of Israel. And when I dig up graves and I bring you out as my people, you will realize that I am God. And I'll breathe my life into you and you will live. And I'll lead you straight back to your land. And you'll realize I am God. I have said it. I will do it. And God decreed it. And I'm telling you, it's time for the church, like never before, to get a boldness to go in a field of bones and step in that field with an authority in the Spirit that says, I am not here with a despondent, fed up, disillusioned attitude. I am here from a position of being lifted and grabbed by the Almighty God. And I am here with a word in my mouth, and my word is life. And my word is healing. And my word is a re-envisioning and a passion. And as you speak, and as the body comes together, and as the winds all speak and blow in the same direction, there is nothing God cannot do in our communities. I just don't know whether you realize how much God wants to make this happen through you. I don't know whether your peace mentality has disconnected you to such a place that you are now cold to the involvement in the things of God. But there's no spare people in God's kingdom. Every single piece is needed in the box lid. And tonight I know that maybe you think, well, I'm not sure. It's just Sunday night. I mean, this is a little bit full on. You know what? God is full on. Because people are going to hell. Your neighbor's marriage is nearly over and you've lived next door for 20 years and you have a breath of life inside you and you can put bones and sinews around them to strengthen them. The church is the army and it's got to start acting like it and it's got to get strength from the inside out. And those bones stood on their feet and they did not look like bones anymore when they got their act together. Some of you might feel like an embarrassed bone. Don't worry. Find your sinew in the church. Find the muscle. Find the flesh. Find the breath. And get yourselves together. Get your act together. Find one another and begin to speak life. God is not messing. we have to wake up. Time is short and God's word is powerful and the needs are immense. And you're not called Healing Place because it's a cute name. It is a prophetic word of God for why this place is here. Healing Place is not a name. It's a declaration of what you intend to do in the communities that you are sent to. It's a prophecy that was given to your house about what you're called to be. God said, be a healing place. And so therefore you began to name your building Healing Place. But God said, do not name a building Healing Place unless you forget what that's all about. Let me grab you again tonight. Let me impassion you again tonight that you indeed are a healing place. That this indeed is an arena for miracles. That this is a place that was built for life to be brought forth from dry bones. That this name is not just on a building, but it should be in every single one of your hearts. That you are a carrier of the healing power of God. Whether it be ministering to need, whether it be praying for sick, whether it be encouraging a dry bone of someone's dreams, God is calling you to stand up again and get fired up again and get envisioned again. And I didn't come all this way to entertain you. I love this house. I love this house. I don't know why I love this house so much, but I do. And God is not messing with you. Your future is unbelievable. What God is going to do through here, you have not even begun to see. But it's going to take you all getting grabbed again because it's a lot of work. There's a lot of need. There's a lot of things to do. God wants to speak right into you and say, can these bones live? Can we be a healing place? Can we reach more people? Can we stretch our arms further? Can we bring more in? Can we do more? See, when God finds a church that does as much as this house, it's just the thing with God. He goes, okay, I'm just going to keep giving them stuff to do. Why? Because you're faithful and you're reliable kids. It's not like God's been unfair and giving you more jobs than the rest of the church. But God sees in this house a leadership and a team around them and an army of people that have signed up for the mission. So God can't help himself take you to more valleys of bones. Maybe you're jaded because you've just seen a lot of bones. Maybe you've had Servolution and maybe you've had projects and maybe you've had mission trips and maybe you've had giving and outreaches and maybe you've thrown so many events. You're like, Lord, we have done a lot. And God's like, yes, you have, but you haven't seen nothing yet. Because this is a house that brings bones to life. Settle it. Get inside of yourself grabbed all over again. Get gripped all over again. Let me grab you all over again. For I declare to you, says the Lord, that the name of this house is the heartbeat of my heart. I sent my only son so that he would bring healing to a dying world. I did not send him to impress people. I did not send him to be politically correct. I did not send him to impress and improve on religion. I sent him to find hurt and broken lives. I sent him to suffer for their sufferings. I sent him to find the driest of places and bring a spring of life. And I declare to you tonight, my church, that this name is a heavy name. That this name is a significant name. That this name comes with cost and it comes with a price tag. And I ask you again tonight, can this healing place heal more lives? Can this healing place reach more people? Can it connect? Can it stand up? Can it breathe words of life into dead things? For I am with you. And I am for you. And I already know the answer, for I am God. But I want to hear it from your lips again. I want to hear the recommitment again. I want to see the signing up again. I want to see the arms extended and the heart surrendered again. For you are surrounded by bones, and I am walking you back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, until all you can see is dryness. And I'm saying to you, prophesy, 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 prophesy. Call things that are not as though they are. Declare it and decree it and call on my name. The finances will come. The resources will follow. The rustling sound is already beginning to happen. The army are forming and they will stand on their feet. But the moment you stop prophesying is the moment they lose their breath. So speak life. So speak dreams. So speak big. So speak box lid. Do not be frightened. Do not be intimidated. You are called to be the healing place for many, many, many lands. In Jesus' name, we receive your word, God.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.